Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It's snow, it melts, and we're one day closer to spring. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 29th and 30th. Really packed show, really tight on the time. Sorry, producer Chris Coleman extraordinaire. Got to work on this. Okay, 2 days remain in the statewide winter bow season. Now, there are DMZs that the season will, also shotgun muzzle, will continue to mid-February, I guess, a little later in February. Go to the Hunting and Trapping Digest for the dates and the DMZs. And I also page 63 in the Digest for the two zones, one north, one south, for the special Canada goose season, which is going on. Daily limit is 5 hunting hours or half hour before sunrise to sunset. Squirrel and rabbit season still on, and the light goose, a.k.a. snow goose season, continues. Coming up our next segment, we're talking the fly show. The largest fly show in the country is right here in New Jersey. A little bit of a drive north, but there it is. Jim Hutchinson, Jr., managing editor, New Jersey and Delaware Bay edition of Fisherman, weighs in on his outstanding, in-your-face editorial in the February issue of the Fisherman, which just came out. And a little later on, Captain Jim Frieda, Sure Catch Sport Fishing, talks stripers on the fly and his seminar at the Fly Show. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's talk station. Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
It is showtime. This time of year, we have the AC Boat Show coming up. We have the Marine Trades Association Boat Show coming up. What is happening this weekend, right now, opened yesterday. It is the largest on the East Coast. It is the Fly Fishing Show at the New Jersey Convention and Exposition Center in Edison, 97 Sunfield Avenue in Edison. Now, don't panic, people. It's a straight shot up the parkway or up the turnpike to 287. It's right there. Now, except for, again, like I said a little later on, in Cape May County, you can be there hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. It opened yesterday. It is balls to the wall, fly fishing, saltwater, freshwater, tires, authors, a destination theater segment, and the seminars. One in particular, we're going to be covering that a little later in the program. One in particular, just worth the price of admission. These are head-exploding seminars insofar as information. You have the exotics, destination things with, you know, Patagonia and Argentina, et cetera, ad infinitum. Joining us on the line right now is the co-producer of the show, Chuck Ferrimsky. Remember Chuck back in November? He ran the, it was packed. It was, you couldn't even move in there, the Fly Tying Symposium. This is the Fly Fishing Show, and it is a monster. Chuck, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin, big brother. What is happening?
Oh, man, I'm worn out. I set up the show Thursday, yeah. Thursday night, all day long. I slept 10 hours that night at the Sheraton, which is the host hotel, right 5 minutes from the exhibit hall.
Now, listen, the show today is going to open up at 8:30. It goes to 6. And tomorrow, Sunday, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Now, listen, this goes way back. I remember the first time Chuck mentioned he and his then-partner, Barry Cervianta, were going to have a fly show. He stops in at H.D. Wood Advertising, 403 22nd Street, Plaza 22 in Ocean City, where we had the Garcia account. We had Triton Boats. What a place. Anyway, Chuck stops in, and he floated this idea. We said, wow. And I'll never forget, it was a Friday afternoon. We closed at 12, you know, go fishing, go to whatever. And Dick said, hey, Thomas, you go, yeah, I was had a property up north at the time. So I'll be going right by the place. He said, stop by, see how they're going. Now, it's the time I get up there was about 1 o'clock, 1:30, sleet, freezing rain. I go by the place where they had it. I guess it was at a different venue. Same big, you know, convention center type place. It was 2 deep, sometimes 3 deep for about 100 yards. Now, this is before cell phones, or actually maybe cell phones were out there. I didn't have one. Stopped at a gas station, cost me $3.25 to call back down to Ocean City. Finally tracked Dick Wood down. I said, Dick, Ferrimsky hit a grand slam. And, Chuck, it's been nothing but more growth and expansion since, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, that was quite a shocker. It surprised everybody. Barry and I, of course, you know, we were the first ones. Well, actually, I was the first one, and he did one 3 months later. We didn't know each other.
Oh, okay.
We were the first ones that, and the individuals that did a fly fishing show, I guess, with our own money. There are smaller ones that clubs did, you know, like Trout Unlimited clubs and FFF clubs. But they're like 60 volunteers. Barry and I, with two of us, our wives, our kids, our dogs, our cats, that was it. But maybe 2,500 people. If we got 2,500 people, we were going to break even. We were hoping we wouldn't go bankrupt. Well, the doorman was the fire marshal. We had so many people in there,
right.
It was like a strip bar. You had to wait for people left before you could go in. He stopped them at the door. We had 100 people in line waiting to go into the bar.
Chuck, I remember that. I remember that clearly, and I went back that Sunday. And I said,
you went in the exit door, I remember.
Yeah, and I said, man, this is crazy. I'm going to wait out in line here. It's freezing. Now, I don't mind standing out there with snotsicles down on my chest ice fishing. But I said, to get into a fly show, and I like my fly fishing. But when I went in, and Chuck, you've expanded, says, listen, close to 300 exhibitors. It was everyone and anything and the who's who in the world of fly fishing, be it small stream trout to flats tarpon to offshore sailfish and marlin. Chuck, you guys covered all the bases, and this show now is, my God, all of the space is sold out from what I can see, and the people talking about it kicked ass.
Well, Ben just added a couple exhibitors where we had a one or two cancellations. We're dealing with people that can't come from France and Switzerland and England and Ireland because of the airlines and the restrictions in Europe. And then one guy had a cancel that comes all the time from Canada.
Right.
Because in order to get back to Canada, he had to get all kinds of special tests and shots. And then if something happens, then he has to stay here for another 10 days. I told him you could put him up in your back room.
Oh, absolutely. Have him down. We'll just create a couple of patterns. Well, Chuck, to me, the gauge of a show is the seminars, because I'm always trying to learn something.
Wow.
But you have, yeah. I think, like 51, 60-something, 70 seminars ongoing. But your destination theater, I find, in particular, is just beyond worth the price of admission. You're talking stalking trout in Yellowstone. You got fishing in Ireland, Patagonia, and local stuff, Chuck, by the who's who.
Yeah, I just checked them yesterday before I left. I think there were six or seven seminar rooms set up. Every hour there's a show in one of those rooms. So I don't know. How long is the show? 7 hours long, the day, or eight hours?
Yeah, 8 hours, right.
So what is that? I don't know. Seven times that. It's like 60,
right.
60-some. But that's only the minor seminars. Those are destination theaters. The
right.
big seminars with the high-end expensive celebrities, which you didn't
right.
call you this year because you weren't that popular. So, but anyway, we'll get you next year.
Hey, listen, hey, Forimski, my popping for bluegills, that's a badass presentation.
You know what? A lot of guys like, we have things
yeah.
like that. We have smallmouth, largemouth, yep. musky. Man, we have, I can't even think of these fish down in the Amazon with the
right.
giant teeth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Pierre and stuff.
We have talks on Africa, New Zealand, Alaska, Kamchatka. Just amazing. We have so many seminars, and there are people there that book the trips that own the lodges, so you talk
right.
to the person.
Exactly.
You'll see when you get to the Amazon.
Right. And Chuck, now you have
about all the trips.
You have casting demonstrations planned today, Saturday, Pond 1 and Pond 2. You have featured fly tying classes. You covered all bases, Chuck.
Yeah, as I said, Phil is the only one that canceled his class from Canada, but he's doing it on Zoom. They put it on Zoom, and he's getting students to do that because he can't fly in. But we're really happy that I'm looking at all the pictures of the celebrities. I think I counted like 35
right.
major celebrities in the fly fishing industry.
And
probably have a half a dozen that you might know for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I asked you about the one young gun from Colorado. I had seen, read some of his material and seen him. He's, Chuck, you covered it, man. You know, you've absolutely covered it.
We have so many guys, but like you mentioned, Jim Frieda, he's like the local hero. I mean, he has such good fishing reports, and I don't know how many stripers you could catch when you fish with him. He's unbelievable.
You're like my cousin Mario says, my arms are falling off.
Well, the last time I fished with him, I don't know when it was. I think in mid-October, I had a new fly I wanted to try out. Well, it worked. I think I landed 8 or 9 stripers. None of them were under 25 pounds. It was crazy. Wow. And this is all on a 10-weight fly rod.
Well, listen, add some ligature to this. I first met Chuck. I didn't know who he was. I said, what is that guy doing? What is that guy doing out there? It was that behind low, dropping tide, down behind Ocean City, some rocky flats, whatever. I watched him land a, basically it was a keeper length fluke. That's back in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s. On a fly rod, which I went up to him, and he showed me this crab fly that looked so real. I wanted to put either an Old Bay or put it in the spaghetti sauce. You know what I mean? Had little leather claws, little popping eyes. And I said, really, saltwater fly? I mean, I caught some snapper blues on my little trout outfit, you know, lower crabbing and stuff. But you said the saltwater fly fishing is going to grow and grow and grow. And Chuck, it has. And you've been at the fore of it.
Yeah. Well, at that time, the reason I was successful was because I know most of the fly fishing people because of all the shows. Well, they came out with a full sinking line, and my fly line, most of the fly lines that people had at that time were floating or an intermediate
tip, sinking tip, right?
Yeah, you'd go down 3 feet, maybe whatever, and when you strip it, it starts to lift up a little bit. I cast out, and my line sinks down like a piece of lead, and I've got this crab crawling around the bottom right over top of the eyes of the flounder. They come out of the mud and grab that thing. I mean, it's crazy.
Listen, Jonas on the line. Jonas on the line is Chuck Forimski. He is the co-director or associate director, whatever you want to call it, of the Fly Fishing Show, which is going on. It runs today and tomorrow. Yesterday was, Chuck, I think it was, you're talking sellout. And the hours, Chuck, you make it early enough people can get there, and it's open till, you know, Jesus, till 6, 7, 8. You got it covered here, bro.
Yeah. Well, by the way, you better mention my son. I'm listening to him now. He's the boss. He told me yesterday. He said, I was going to talk to Tom. He said, make sure you tell him that I took over the show 6 years ago.
But Chuck, I relate to you. I relate to you. Benji's here. He's there. He's traveling. He's out west, you know.
That's what irritates him, because everybody comes to me. And he's standing there like a piece of cheese against the wall.
Hey, Chuck. Okay, listeners, the hours are today 8:30 to 6, and tomorrow 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. I'll tell you, Forimski, 4:30 p.m., that's still going to be packed. You're going to have some pissed-off people when you have to kick them out. You tell them to leave. I've been there and say, what do you mean, man? It just caused me wanting to get it. And it says, listen, it's just a packed show. Everything and anything fly fishing, saltwater, freshwater, fly tying. Chuck, one thing that really I like, you have that author's booth. Because you know me, I'm a bookie.
Yeah,
and by bookie, I mean I'm a bookie.
Every book about fly fishing and fly tying and wherever you can go in the world of fly fish is there. Unbelievable number of books.
Okay, so, listen, it's $18 for adults to get in. Youngsters 5 and under is free. Ages 6 to 12, $5. $5. Scouts under 16 in uniform, free. Active military with ID, $10. And your admission to this show includes a seminar. The seminars alone, people, I'll tell you, later on in the program, we do have Captain Jim Frieda coming on to talk, fly rod and striper, September to December. And, Chuck, the most important thing, two things in the Tom P. realm. Rack and Fin Radio, yes. One, free parking. Chuck, that's a winner, man. That's a winner.
You know what else? We have so much to talk about, but there's an area where the kids, are, even with their adults, they could join them. They could learn to tie flies, learn
right.
knots. We have an educational area that they could sit for free and learn whatever they want to from really, really good instructors.
Okay, Chuck,
and we have a ladies' area.
I was just going to ask you that, Chuck.
Area.
Yeah, the ladies' area, that is the growing demograph.
Yep.
Not only in fly fishing, but basically fishing across the board, women. That is an economic force. And Chuck, this fly show puts it right at the fore.
They have a complete area with all kinds of things that women will be interested in. The men would be there, too. They're even having a breakfast, welcoming breakfast. There's so many things going on. That's why I'm only the co-director. My son knows everything. So if you see him, tell him he's doing a great job.
We're going to try to get there tomorrow. Listen, the Fly Fishing Show, the world's largest fly fishing expo of its kind, New Jersey Convention and Exposition Center, 97 Sunfield Avenue in Edison. easy shot from the parkway, easy shot from the turnpike, 287. Follow the signs. Everything is there. You can go to flyfishingshow.com for directions. They have directions in the brochure. And, Chuck, I'm going to tell you, you have a pretty impressive list of show seminars here, bud.
I wish I could go to them. I have to introduce a lot of the people. I run around in between things, and I get there just in time to introduce someone, and I have to go to the next one.
Listeners, this is a fact. Forensky loses anywhere from 10 to 15 pounds per fly show. It's documented. Well, Chuck, God spares. We see you tomorrow. Best of all, tell Benji I'll mention him next year. How's that?
All right, Nick, you're coming today, aren't you? After you close up, but
no, I'm gonna try to get there tomorrow. Better. I'm gonna try to get some ice fishing and or you know, it's last weekend of winter bow hunting and or, but we'll try to get up there. And, Chuck, remember, you'll hear me coming. Listen, it's the world's largest fly fishing show, New Jersey Convention and Exposition Center in Edison, 97 Sunfield Avenue. Go to flyfishingshow.com. If you want to just learn about it, this is the place to be. Chuck, it's going
to
be great.
I told the ticket, Connor, when you come to give you 10% off, so don't forget. Get the discount.
Okay. I'm gonna have to call my accountant on that one and legal here. Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, you take care, brother. We'll see you tomorrow, man.
All right.
See you, brother.
Thanks.
He is one hell of a fly. Just basically, I said, "What the hell are you doing, man? That's a fluke." He said, "Well, that's a flounder," and it was had to be 19 inches. The water was 18 inches, 20 inches, dropping tight around some rocks and stuff. You see the cabbage or whatever. And just watch him phew, shoot that out, twitch, boom, rod bent. First thing I thought was bluefish. Probably bluefish. I figured a striper. And he gets up this fluke and, you know, lets it go. And I saw that crab fly. And, again, to me, fly fishing is freshwater. Again, I caught some snapper blues there. Saltwater realm. Listen, the fly fishing show today, tomorrow. Check it out. Worth the drive. The seminars to blow your mind. Okay, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you love South Jersey's talk station, then the WPG Talk Radio app is a must-have on your phone. Listen to all your favorite talk shows around the clock and instantly call them with just the tap of your finger. Download the Hurley in the Morning podcast. Send us your pictures and videos of breaking news and more. It's the WPG Talk Radio app, a free download from South Jersey's talk station, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of January 29th and 30th. And that was the fly show, Chuck Forensky. Our next segment coming up, Captain Jimmy Freedom, man. We're talking stripers on the fly and his seminar at the fly show. But right now, let's talk the most popular fish along the Jersey Shore, the summer flounder, a.k.a. Fluke. Pick up the February issue of the Fisherman Magazine. This is the big monthly color cover. Absolutely outstanding edition. As always, some great articles in the main feature. Johnny Raguso, Captain Johnny with the Marine Electronics Buyer's Guide. History of Cows, the Biggest Striped Bass on Record by Johnny Tiedemann. Plug Building 2, the Rat Swim Bait. Man, rats on the mats. That is what they got. A travel tips guide, the Mighty Mite, the 132nd ounce marabou jig by Captain John Paduano. Hey, Johnny, let it out of the bag. I don't like you anymore. And then you have the local thing, Steady Pick, Backbone of Good Eats by Eddie Masunis, former Penn rep, for the best rep I think Penn ever had. And okay, Spare the Rod, When One Combo Is Not Enough by the great Alan D. Rod. I haven't seen Alan's bottle in a long time. He's all right, man. He's back in the fold. The passing of Robert Healy Jr. I had the opportunity to meet Mr. Healy twice at the RFA office when it used to be in Galloway. He would look you right in the eyes, and you know, you don't BS the boss. This guy, when he gave you a look, said it is passing. Eric Burnley, great writer, great article. White Perch, Wintertime Wonderfish, and the NOAA Bathymetric Data Viewer, Transition to Electronic Navigation Charts by Wayne Young. But, as always, the first place I go, whether it's an online or hard copy of the Fisherman Magazine, the editorial by Managing Editor, New Jersey and Delaware Bay Edition, Jim Hutchinson Jr., Straight Between the Eyes, as always. We're seeing now this one now in the February issue. Crumb bums. Okay, Hutch, great play on words. Our lovely Dean Reese is now, that's a writer. So thank you, babe. That's a writer. Pick up this editorial alone is worth the cover price. And if you don't subscribe, you're lame, because this is the magazine to get for all your fishing news. Hutch lays it out. Now, this is for 2023. What's happening 2022? Is it still going to be 3 at 18? Jim's on the line with us right now to give us, he has a little inside information on it, but I want to discuss his editorial. I mean, it just punches you. Just hits you right there when you say, this just seems like an exercise in futility. Sorry, Hutch, a little long, but I was getting crazy on the copy, man.
I was laughing. That was funny. You're on fire.
Hutch, you know my proclivities. I like the fresh. I like the salt. Fluke is, yay. But again, it's like, are we banging our heads against the wall, Hutch? You just laid it out. The crumb bums and flounder, porgies, and black sea bass. Hutch, what's happening? What happened? The name, I've known him for 100 years. Tommy Schlichter in New York. What did you do? Anyway, Hutch, can you lay it out, please?
It's a good question. We don't know what they did. I spell it out in the editorial. It's not often that I run a cover photo to lead attention to my editorial.
Bingo.
It's usually a story.
Bingo.
But I put Fluke on the cover for Mars Day to get people to ask why, and then to read this, because I need as many people to understand this as possible, and I need my friends in New York to understand this, because they need to hold their appointed public officials to a higher standard. And, you know, these guys get paid. I don't know if a lot of folks realize that, but at the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council, when you get appointed as a governor's selection, and you have to get approved by NOAA, and you get a lot of support from the industry. If you're tabbed as a recreational fishing representative, you're going to get a lot of support from the Recreational Fishing Alliance, mm-hmm. the American Sport Fishing Association, to get that nomination through at the federal level. So ASARFA supported Tom very closely. And then Tom turns around and sits on his hands when Adam Kowalski's trying to get us a good deal for quota. Now, the last time we had this opportunity to get a quota change on Fluke sea bass and porgy was 20 years ago. And the New York Mid-Atlantic Council representative then screwed us over. Flash forward 20 years. And Adam is there in the room, Adam Kowalski, New Jersey. And he's saying, guys, I need you to follow me. We need to fight here. This is where we should fight. Now, ASA and RFA are saying we should be 60% recreational, 40%
commercial,
on Fluke. Right now, it's 60-40 the other way.
Right, right.
So knowing that there's going to be a bloody battle, Adam kind of brokers a compromise right there in the middle. Mm-hmm. So on a point of 0 to 10, go for 5, right? This is good. But those guys from New York sat on their hands again. So I'm not exactly sure. I did speak to Schlichter. Tom wasn't returning anybody's messages. I got him on the phone. I recorded our conversation. The folks in Long Island at our Long Island headquarters are, mm-hmm. The New York edition, Matt Broderick. Hopefully he writes something up. But Tom just kind of said he thought that if Adam's motion failed, it was all going to fail. And I pretty much asked this question. Is fear of failure a reason for failure to fight? That's the difference between New Jersey and other states. That's why other states don't like us at the council and commission level. Because New Jersey's not afraid to fight. We're not afraid of losing the battle. Our council members, our commissioners, our individual anglers.
Right.
We are never afraid to fight. Maybe that goes back to the Revolutionary War. I don't know. but the situation is, in terms of 2023 and beyond, because that's what this allocation shift was going to be, we could have gotten a lot more. We got crumbs, and the bums in New York are the ones responsible for this because they didn't join the fight. And this is probably what we're going to look at in terms of allocation for the next 15, 20 years.
For the next, Hutch, you ended it perfect. For the next 20 years. This is unconscionable.
I mentioned ASA and RFA. I talked to John DePersonaire immediately after this happened for the RFA. Mm-hmm. He was despondent. He's still despondent. It shows you how big this was. I talked to Mike Wayne at the ASA yesterday. It's been a month and a half now. Mm-hmm. He's despondent. He still can't believe we didn't get this done. So it was a huge vote. It was huge. And I don't know the way out of it right now, except for the other question you had, is where do we stand for this year?
You're right.
So that's where we stand for this year. The Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission met this week, and they spoke about black sea bass, porgy, and fluke.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting a theoretical little bump in fluke harvest in 2022. They're going to cut us back on black sea bass and porgy. So this is all based on their stock assessment numbers. It's based on the Marine Recreational Information Program. That's the data collection. So they say that we fish too many sea bass, for example. The original plan was going to be closer to like a 40% cut, as I remember. They worked out a 28% cut. But I was speaking to somebody yesterday about this,
mm-hmm.
and the technical committee is looking to kind of smooth things out. What they did is they found some anomalies in black sea bass in terms of how the information they had relates to the waves of data. And we're still going to have to wait another week or two to figure out exactly how much of our season in sea bass is going to be impacted or porgies. You asked about fluke. We do get an increase. Is that going to result in more of a bag? Probably not. Is it going to result in more of a size limit? I don't know. The state of New Jersey is looking at a possible slot option, and they'll probably discuss that March 3rd when the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council meets.
Well, Hudson, if I can interrupt you for a second, whenever the slot comes up, you always hear, can't do that. Law enforcement, no, that's a pain in the ass. Can't do that. That's impossible. Never works. Hutch, all the years you've been doing this, is it just me, or have you heard that as well?
So the enforcement in New Jersey, it hasn't complained about the slot. Enforcement in New Jersey has complained about split seasons. You know, having let's just say, for example, cut the state in half at the Causeway Bridge in LBI.
Right.
South of the Causeway Bridge, it's one season. North is a different season. Enforcement always says we can't do that. But they have changed. You know, I could criticize them, but they have changed because they've allowed us that additional fluke flexibility down in Cape May, right? So you've got a different regulation on Delaware Bay,
right?
And as long as you store your stuff on board, you head north, you can get up to the Reading Bridge,
right,
without a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the slot problem has been coming from NOAA and the data collection, because basically, remember that our limits are in place to keep us from catching fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's what keeps us from going over quota. If we catch too many short fish, even in the allowable season they give us, we're going to go over quota. So the whole idea of a size limit is to make it harder for us to catch fish so that we can fish longer and have a bigger season. It's really a bizarre thing, but I think we're going to be looking at a slot again this year. And I think I should just explain to folks that from what I've heard, there may be ways out of this box with black sea bass. We may not lose as much of the season or the size or the bag limit from black sea bass as we mm-hmm. thought. But in fluke, I don't think we're really going to find out anything until next month when the Midland Fishery Management Council meets. So again, like I said, this will all come out March 3rd, I believe.
I just hope it's not a virtual meeting. It's a personal attendance meeting. You know, people can get in there and voice their opinion.
That ain't gonna happen. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. This whole COVID thing and the inability to have a public meeting has been the worst thing that could possibly happen to democracy, especially in fisheries, because we can't show up at a meeting and talk about things. You get shut out online. I mean, also in the same edition, Tom, if you go to page 60, I write up the New Jersey Marine Fisheries Council meeting from January 6th. At that meeting, they covered everything online for 2 hours, 3 hours before the public had a chance to weigh in. I mean, now, if you're an angler that goes to this council meeting, you have to sit and listen to a wind update. That's more important than your public comments.
Hutch,
it's gotten bad.
Hutch, to page 60, I have to ask you this. In your humble opinion, Hutch, a saltwater license going to stop that striper poaching?
Of course not. One has nothing to do with the other. You know,
where did that come from?
Everybody wants to say that. Look, oh my God.
He's getting fired up, folks. He's getting fired up.
I did it in my weekly forecast, man. That week, I said, I was talking about this thing, and I broadcast the 90 seconds from the meeting that was in question. And Captain Jason Snellbreaker, God bless him, he's got a big job to do to cover the whole state. But
good man.
Look, it works in hunting. If you have a hunting license, you're not going to violate the law. And I'm yelling at the computer screen. I'm like, if you're a hunter who has your hunting license pulled away and you're walking with a gun in public, you're now a future convicted felon. How could you possibly compare hunting to fishing? I don't know. There must be a bureaucratic handbook someplace where a guy reads page 47 and knows exactly how to fleece somebody out of an additional tax.
Listeners, vintage Jim Hutchinson Jr. Well, Hutch, the other option, let's shut down that Raritan Bay fishery. Oh, that'll stop the poaching.
Oh, sure. Don't let me pull this car over, you two.
Listeners, pick up.
I'm going to take everything away from everybody if you don't figure out the bad apples. That's just ridiculous.
Listeners, pick up the February issue, the Fisherman Magazine. Subscribe. It's what, $29.95 for the year. Best news out there. And go to page 3 in the local and also page 60 in the local section of the magazine for Hutch's The Crumb Bums editorial and also the last Marine Fisheries meeting. Well, Hutch, before I let you go, congratulations on Brother Clark Harris with the Bengals.
Super psyched, man. This is a big game. I mean, my brother's playing to get into the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Go Bengals. Okay, I'm saying it right here. F the Cowboys. F Jimmy Jones. F. Dak Prescott, F. C. D. Lamb. It's Bengal country here now, man. Well, at least in this studio. Okay, Hutch, you got me. I turned. After since 1965 or 4 when I saw my first Cowboy, I turned. You got it, man. Well, Jim, thanks for joining us on Rackapin. Let's.
There's not a single player on the Cowboys that fishes for the striped bass. So Clark Harris for the Bengals, you got to root for him.
Absolutely. I mean, look at that. Find me something with stripes here. I got to wear my stripes. Okay, how'd you take care? Let's get you back on Rack and Finn. Best to your dad, everybody else, Michelle and Samantha and everybody, and you take care, man.
Yep. Hey, happy shoveling.
Hey, I was just going to say, be careful shoveling, brother. See you, man.
All right. See
you. Jim Hutchinson Jr. Okay, man, a little long on that segment. Coming up, Captain Jim Frieda. His Striper on the Fly seminar at the Fly Show this afternoon, and he talks stripers on the fly. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM, South Jersey's talk station.
Fox News, I'm Carmen Roberts. Hunkering down in the Northeast as a monster storm rolls in. Some store shelves cleaned out.
Destroying everything. Cat food, pet food, the dairy.
Forecasters warn there could be up to 3 feet of snow dumped in some parts of New England, and winds could top 50 miles per hour.
Fox's Lauren Blanchard. Some New England officials fretting about a shortage of snowplow drivers with so many COVID sick outs. President Biden says he'll send U.S. troops to Eastern Europe and NATO countries soon as Russia increases its forces around Ukraine.
We've got new reports of Su-35 fighter jets of Russia landing in neighboring Belarus. Now we're talking about something like 125,000 troops basically encircling this country.
Fox's Greg Palcott in Kiev. America's listening to Fox News.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. Winter Weather Alert with Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow.
I'm sitting here in the Weather Center listening to the wind howl outside, and I think that's what differentiates this nasty nor'easter from a regular old snowstorm. The wind, we've seen some gusts over 40 miles an hour along the coast in the past little while, and they're really kicking up now. That wind does a lot of things. Number one, sporadic power outages are a concern. Number two, coastal flooding, where past high tide on the ocean front, back bays will crest in the next couple hours. Minor to localized moderate category flooding expected. Number three, the wind chill is in the teens now, could dip into the single digits at times. And number four, that snow is blowing around, drifting and obscuring visibility. So we are in the brunt of the storm, the peak of the storm now through mid to late morning. This storm system is not going to exit completely until sometime this afternoon. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow on the Town Square, New Jersey Weather Network.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Let's get back to the Fly Show running today and wrapping it up tomorrow up there at the New Jersey Convention and Exposition Center in Edison. Now, to me, seminars are the most important part of any exposition like this. You see the tackle, you can handle the tackle, but the knowledge that comes out of these seminars that you can gain to improve, be it fishing, be it hunting, be it anything outdoors, anything pertaining to it, is invaluable. One seminar in particular, one ran yesterday that caught my eye. It's just, and how apropos this is, from Monmouth down to Cape May and around the Delaware Bay. It's New Jersey Striped Bass Blitzes, September to December, Baits, Flies, and Mayhem, presented by Captain Jim Frieda. Now, Captain Jim is a U.S. CG licensed captain and owner of Shore Catch Sport Fishing out of Manasquan. Now, Jimmy's been fishing the inshore and offshore waters of the Jersey Shore for, I'd say, in excess of 40 years, targeting stripers, blues, false albies, and they will rip your face off. Bluefin and yellowfin tuna and mahi. Captain Frieda's on the pro staff for Gamagatsu, Spro, M. Fisher Plugs, Chatterlures, Nomad Design, Tackle Nomads. Ooh, those. Oh, boy, that Chug Norris this past summer. Oh, man. Tony Maja Products, you know, famous Bunker Spoons, among others. And check this out. He is a member of the elite pro staff of St. Croix Rods. Now, let me tell you, I've been in this industry for 30-something years. It ain't easy getting on the elite pro staff of St. Croix Rods, a.k.a. the greatest rods on earth. Jim is also an accomplished seminar speaker and author. He's made presentations at the Fly Fishing Show, and he's going to do it again. The Garden State Outdoor Show, the Saltwater Expo, the World Fishing and Outdoor Exposition up there in Suffern, which I understand has been canceled. The Saltwater Expo, and Jim was a celebrity panelist on a George Poveromo Saltwater Seminar Series Tour. Now, he's authored the book Fishing the Jersey Coast. Now, here's the thing with this. It is the definitive where-to-go book. Now, some things have expanded naturally, but, you know, you can see these books, and there were great authors like Milt Roscoe, Vince Sperano, A Complete Book of Saltwater Fishing, for example, or variations thereof. They're automatically dated in the year for the most part. All the photos of the tackle, the boats, everything's changing. This is where to go, how to get there, and what you can expect to catch, as well as the tactics to catch fish. This is the, and again, listen, I've been around books many, many, many decades. This is the definitive Jersey Shore fishing book. And Jim also co-authored Saltwater Fishing, A Tackle Approach, A Guide for the Beach and Boat Fisherman. And Jimmy's articles appeared in the Fisherman magazine, Saltwater Sportsman, Sport Fishing, On the Water, ad infinitum, all over the place. Well, Jimmy is giving this seminar. Again, it's going to be today. If you can get there today in the strike room at 1:30, New Jersey Striped Bass Blitzes, September to December, Baits, Flies, and I let, this is pure Frieda, and Mayhem. Jimmy's on the line with us right now. Long time no see, Mr. Frieda. How you doing? So what's happening, Jimmy? You gave your seminar yesterday. I understand, very well attended. You have another one coming today. The title alone. Listen, this is worth the $18 price of admission. This one seminar, for what you're going to learn, especially from the fly fishing end. Jim is an accomplished fly angler, fresh and salt. And Jimmy, this is going to be a monster seminar, brother.
Yeah, Tommy, I'm looking forward. I always get really excited and pumped up when I give this seminar because I'm looking at the fall from September to December. I'm going to go through the migrations of the fish that we see that we can target on the fly rod. And I'm going to look at the baits that are there, and I'm going to talk about the flies that you're going to want to use to match them. But, you know, Tom, in the last 5 years, the migrations have just been, like I said, mayhem. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got video in this presentation that I got just from this past season of blitzes taking place that'll just, you can just watch over and over and over again.
Jim, in your opinion, I mean, the reaction, the knee-jerk reaction, you know, from my end, of the new striper regs, which, you know, a year is not enough, nowhere near enough to tell if it's been effective or not, you know, the 28 to just under 38, et cetera, infinitum. Your take on the striper population. Now, you cover the waterfront, Frieda. So, stripers to you seem, like, the stock seem in trouble?
Tom, what I'm seeing out there and have seen in the last, like I said, recently, I'm seeing millions of fish, especially in the fall migration. When we start going beyond the 3 mile line where we're not targeting stripers, but we're looking for bluefin, mm-hmm. there are acres and acres and acres of stripers every single day. Now I'm talking every day, 30 days, 40 days, 45 days in a row. And, it's mind boggling. It's mind boggling. So I'm excited about the, you know, the fishery mm-hmm. and, what we saw in Raritan Bay this year, whether that's just a Hudson River stock that's up there, that was every single day, April, May, into June,
right,
nonstop, really big stripers. It was phenomenal. So I'm very, very encouraged with the regulations, with the stopping of the netting that has taken place. I see no shortage of fish, and I'm going to show video. I'm going to show photos of my fish finders at different times during the season, where there are literally, you have to estimate under the boat itself within a half mile radius, thousands and thousands of fish.
Jim, are you a lone wolf out there with your clients with the fly rod? You don't see. I've seen more and more increasing numbers in the Back Bay, Barnica Bay, Great Egg Harbor Bay, all the way down in the ICW down behind Avalon Sea Isle. But out front, Jim, is that still a new sport, so to speak?
No, Tom, it was really, really popular, the fly rod, back in the 90s, when the Atlantic saltwater fly rodders were at their prime, and there were a lot of fly fishing clubs around. It was, everybody had a fly rod, and, Bobby Popovich was kind of the center of it in our area down here. Mm-hmm. He's been our mentor for Short Catch. He's taught me so much, and I give him a lot of credit for what we've done in the industry here. And but I've seen the fly rod die off. Me and my partner, Captain Gene, will always, take clients that want to go, and we have specific clients that just want to target this fishery. And but for the most part, guys want to go out there and catch fish. So we'll do it all, fly, spin, troll, mm-hmm. Bait. It really doesn't matter. But the key point about the fly and this fall fishery, it's the easiest time to catch a striped bass and a good sized striped bass on the fly rod. I mean, literally we could put you on fish with almost every single cast. We get out there in November and that migration is at its peak until you don't want to catch fish anymore. That's how many fish there are. And that's how easy they're catch, because they're gorging themselves. They're making their migration to the south, and they're just gorging themselves on the bait that we have.
Joining us on the line is Captain Jim Frieda. He is captain and owner of Short Catch Sport Fishing out of Manasquan. Topic is his seminar going on today at the Fly Show. It's going to be at 1:30 p.m. Listeners, it's worth the ride. And Jersey's small. You can be up there in the facility venue within an hour, hour and a half, pretty much, except for maybe Cape May County, anywhere in the state. It's called Striped Bass Blitzes, September to December, Baits, Flies, and Mayhem. Well, Jim, matching the hatch, so to speak, some of these flies I see using the size of birds. I mean, is it bunker? Is it herring? Is it mullet? Gauging it to what's under there? Are these bass just like me in a pizzeria going to eat anything?
Yeah, they will. They will eat anything when they're gorging themselves. But again, when the mullet are around, we'll use our mullet flies. We'll fish that. We'll emulate that bait. With the color of the fly, with the retrieve is so most important. When I look at fly fishing, guys ask me what's most important, the color, mm-hmm. the profile, or the retrieve. And I call it CPR for the fly fisher. And it's, to me, it's the retrieve. You got to emulate that bait. You got to emulate the way it moves. Mm-hmm. Okay. Get the bass keyed in on it. And then, after that, you're gonna go to where you're putting it in the water column, and then the color after that. So it's sea herring around. I'm using big flies, bay anchovies around. We're using small flies. Mm-hmm. So like I said, in the seminar, I got pictures of it all. I got the flies that we're using. Everybody can see exactly what you need.
Listen, it's going to be 1:30 p.m. today in the strike room. Do not miss it. Well, Captain Frieda, let me play devil's advocate, because we've been out there, and I do the fishing reports for the Philly Daily News, a fisherman, et cetera, at infinitum. Jim, when the bass are under the boat, I talk to these captains, Tommy P, they're beep, 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 under the boat, acres of bass, and they won't hit. You've run into those situations, I'm sure. How do you combat that, Jimmy? How do you get him to inhale that fly? Go.
Yeah, just that tone point, just to try a different type of retrieve, get it down deep, come up vertical in the water column. And usually when it's like that, the jigging type of motion works. But, Tommy, I got to be honest with you. When I'm seeing that under the boat, we're catching them. We're usually catching them. There aren't many times when I got those fish under the boat like that, and they're not striking out at the fly. Getting down there with that presentation and getting down deep enough is one of the keys. But they've been pretty easy to catch when we got them stacked up under the boat like that.
Now, Jim, you mentioned the start is in September. Is there a viable bay, for keepers, viable bay and inlet fishery going on September, rolling into early October, or is it all out front?
No, the bay is really good. All the backwaters, any of the bays, the Raritan, get back in there, the Shark River, the Manasquan, the Barnegat, because the bait is sitting back there, Tommy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We got the mullet, we got the peanut bunker, we got spearing. I mean, I go to my boat dock in the morning. Sometimes if I don't want to take the guys out, we can just catch fish stripers there right at the dock because they're busting
up
the bait in the water in the dark at, 4:30 in the morning. They're in there. The back bays are the holding areas right there, and it's usually on those September and October full of new moons when they get pushed out, when they start moving out.
Jimmy,
they start coming out of there, and then they'll come along the ocean front. But, yeah, back bays are September and October, even into early November. You can do very, very well.
Now, Jimmy, varying the size of the tackle, 6-7 weight maybe in the back, are you doing? And I've done the tarpon thing. I've done the permit thing, even the bonefish thing and the flush. Are you, when out front, Jimmy, are you using basically tarpon tackle? Are you using 10, 12 weights for the bass, especially the big ones that you've been catching?
No, Tommy, mostly for the big bass, I'm using a 10 weight.
Okay.
And you could catch that fish on any rod. You can catch it on an ultralight trout rod. He doesn't know what you have in your hand, that fish. but the point is, when these fish, we're releasing a lot of them, so you don't want to fight it to exhaustion. So, you can catch that fish on an 8-weight, a 7-weight, but you're going to put a lot of stress on that fish with that rod. So the bigger rod, the 10-weight rod, which is our standard rod with, let's say, a 350 sinking line, you get enough power and leverage. You can fight that fish, have fun, but you're going to put it in, get it back to the boat in a good amount of time where you're going to be able to get that fish back in the water and, it's going to swim away.
Well, Jim, me with my fly rods, I like the popping, for the bass and the bluegills. Is there some popper action out front when they got stuff on top?
Absolutely. We'll see that in September with the mullet run because those mullets swim in the upper one-third of the water column in September, and you're going to pop on that. And once again, we'll have adult bunker, peanut bunker blitzes. It can be all up top water, bangers, poppers, chuggers, whistlers, whatever guys, prefer to use or whatever I give them, it's definitely a top order action also.
That is a lot of fun. Joining us on the line is Captain Jim Frieda, owner of Shore Catch Sport Fishing out of Manasquan. Topic is his seminar today at the Fly Show at 1:30. Striped bass blitzes September to December, baits, flies, and mayhem. Well, Jim, one question I'm sure you pose that. Again, it's up to your clients, I guess, or maybe it's the policy of Shore Catch. Catch and release only. Do you have any problem with someone wanting to legally keep a legal length fish for consumption?
Absolutely not. Stripers is one of the best tasting fish I think you can eat. You put it in the oven and broil, get it in there and some butter and some white wine sauce around it, some seasoning the way you want. It's white, thick, white, firm meat. It's absolutely delicious.
Listen, I mentioned the book Captain Jimmy wrote, Fishing the Jersey Coast. Check it out on Amazon. Yeah, it's about $15, $16. It's under, a few dollars under when it was first released some years ago. It is worth it. If you want to learn spots that maybe you never even knew existed, everything was here in that book. Jim, that had to be pretty exhaustive research, rod in hand or not. Cameras, that was pretty definitive. You covered it all, bro.
Yeah, Tom, it took about 2 years to write completely, before the final edit of the book. And my area here, I knew a lot, but in the areas I didn't know, like down by South Jersey area where your hometowns are, down there, I met up with a guide and I met up with a captain, and he explained the area, and his name is in the book there, and he showed the spots. But one of the things I said, you're right about the locations and getting there, is I wrote down every street I made, a left-hand turn on, a right-hand turn on, went down five blocks. I said, that's important, because if I'm going to a place, I don't know where to go. I want the directions. So back then, we had no GPS. So now if you just plug in the street, you're going to get there. But, I made sure I put it in print.
That was kind of cheating with the GPS thing. And, Jim, when I read the chapter, when you mentioned Corson's Inlet, My first time down there, when I started board work at HD Wood Advertising in Ocean City, we had the Garcia account. They sent some new rods and reels, and I'm down there, and I'm, you know, there across the well, now it's the Rush Chatham Bridge, but over there to the Deauville and Seaville fishing wall back through there. And I said, man, Frieda, nail this, man. You were bing, 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 right on. Jim, you were spot on. And listeners, it's that way through the entire book. Jimmy, question. Another book on the horizon, or are you going to be doing just the magazine articles and the seminars? What about you? Come on, man. That brain is percolating, Frieda. What do you got?
Yeah, right now it's concentrating my effort on the magazines, you know, all the major mags. I have a writing schedule throughout the year that I'm sticking with that and the photography for that. So I don't know. I have to see. I got one more year as an educator, and I'm going to retire. And if I do ever do a new book, it's probably going to be from a God perspective, you know, how God has blessed me in my life. And, you know, gives him praise and honor in the next book and talk it from a Christian perspective.
Speaking of blessing you, Captain Jim's son, Tommy Frieda, going for his captain license. Now, he is the youngest member ever on the St. Croix Pro Staff. I'm telling you, it's in the antecedents. Jim, you're from great stock, man, great fishing stock.
Yeah, I'm so proud of him. You know, he's a rock star in the industry now, and he's going to be in the captain's course this year. Again, he was in it last year, but it got canceled after halfway through the course because of COVID. So he's going again, and, you know, I can't wait till he's, running the boat and, doing his own charters on the 28 Parker Sport Cabin and with his own clients and so forth. So I'm real happy and blessed with.
But Jimmy, he's an ace mate on some high profile boats like the Mooshin. Shout out to Captain Alan Lee there. I mean, Tommy Frieda's name. You see in all the magazines, and he listens. He's on the January cover of Fisherman because not only does he do salt, he does fresh as well.
Yeah. I learned so much from that kid because he's getting a lot of experience with different boats. Mooshin, again, he's going to be with Alan this year, and he's been on Waterproof. He's been on the Big Mohawk this last year, you know,
so he's got
tons of bottom experience there, one of the best around. He's been on, the Eagle, and, he's...
Richard Falcone, yeah, wow.
Yeah. I love him, and, I'm proud to have him by my side.
Listeners, I met Tommy Frieda, I believe it was at the Garden State Outdoor Show, me and the lovely Dee Marie, and Tommy was maybe 10 or 11. We talked, Jimmy had to do a seminar, they were running all over the place. I'll never forget, Dee Marie said, like, something out of Rocky III. She said, that kid has fire in his eyes, man. I said, if he fishes half as well as his father, he's going to be terror out there. And Jimmy, he's right there on you with, he's got it down.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I got no problem with him passing me. And, he's got, he's works at the reel seat in Brielle, and, he knows the tackle. You want to, what rod, what reel, what to match. And I say, Tommy, somebody's asking me, what do you think? What should I do? So I'll go to him first. I go to him first before anybody else.
Well, this is Captain Jim Frieda, owner of Shore Catch Sport Fishing. Check out his incredible seminar today. Worth the $18 of admission for this one alone. It's going to be at 1:30 in the Strike Room. Well, Jim, God bless you. Great to have you on Rack and Fin. Listeners, full disclosure, Jim Frieda and I used to trade fishing results every Monday morning in the back parking lot of Our Lady of Mount Carmel School in Orange. By the way, Jim was the vice president, class of 1970. Frieda, surprised I remember that, huh?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I'll never forget that, Tommy. You got me started, man. Orange Park with the carp. Man, we up there
and then
Verona Park on Saturdays.
You were the terror of Verona Park. Like, Jimmy would have a list of fish he caught. Man, holy God, this guy is good. Well, Jim, you made the transition. It's all been very successful, and you never forgot your roots, man. Love you for that. Best of luck to you. By the way, Howard Patty, how Carmen and Debbie and your folks, I understand, are still going, everything going good?
Everybody's good, praise God, my parents, 94, 93.
God bless them. Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Okay, Jimmy, you take care. God bless. We'll see you this afternoon, brother.
All right, sounds good. See you, man. Thank you very much.
You got it. Way long on that segment. This seminar, it just kicks It just kicks ass. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich. Saturday morning at 8 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hello, I'm Rick Haas, President and CEO of Gift of Life Donor Program. In 2021, thanks to our compassionate community, hospital partners, and dedicated staff, our region led the nation in organ donation for the 14th straight year, providing thousands with a second chance at life through transplantation. Every day, we are inspired by those who give the gift of life and by the hope they provide to the thousands waiting. Say yes to saving lives at donorsone.org.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out there, roll in the snow and enjoy, man. Still some seasons out there. Little deep. Hey, plenty of opportunities out there. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.